All right, everybody online, we could also see you too. So if you could turn on your screen, Natalie and Scott, Danny, Timmy, Frank, we can just say hi to you. Everybody's here. Just want to make sure everybody's involved in the class. If you guys would like. Anybody online hear me? All right, we got Brother Scott. Class is here. Danny, good to see you. All right. There's Noelle. Good morning, Noelle.
Good morning, Josie.
Good morning, Josie, right? Josie, good morning, Josie. Okay, why don't we get started this morning? We're running a little bit late through all this adjustment. So I won't do any praises or thanksgiving. Let's just go to the Lord and prayer, and we'll pick up where we last left off with fasting. All right. Yeah. Also start my. Oh, I got share screen. Hold on. Give me a second. Share screen. Where is the screen? All right, great. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we would like to humble ourselves before you this morning. And Lord, even as I open my mouth to come before you to I'd like to bring our whole class before you and all of the other Sunday schools that are kicking off at this time. Oh Lord, would you look upon your people with care and compassion this morning, and know that sometimes we may not come in with a heart that's prepared and ready, just sometimes the act of even driving to church or for like our family, getting breakfast going, getting up earlier to be here. Take some effort, and sometimes it throws off the state of our heart, but we pray that as you look upon your sheep with care and compassion, that you would steady us and allow us, Lord, to engage your perfect word and engage these concepts, and that you, Lord, yourself would be directing our thoughts and speaking to us through your word, that your spirit is activated within us. And I pray this prayer for all the Sunday schools, and not only allow us to better understand biblical concepts, but Lord, how do we bring what you're bringing to our minds and our hearts? How do we bring those into our life, Father? Help us as we continue to dive into the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' own sermon to his disciples and those who are gathered there. I pray that you show us your heart for the people of your kingdom. We thank you so much, and we know that sometimes we try to approach you on our own, but actually we approach you with confidence because we are covered by the righteousness and the blood of Christ, and we come before you boldly with assistance. And so we need your help this morning. We thank you so much for gathering us, be with us in the transition of virtual and in-person, and let your mercy be new every day for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week we ended here. Can you at home see the screen as well? Yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, we delineated that verse 1, what we've been going through for probably over a month and a half, kicks off with Jesus saying, beware of practicing your righteousness, right? And again, it does not end there as a statement. It doesn't say, do not practice your righteousness. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen, right? Let me close my screen here. By them, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. I love where we were. Pastor James had helped conclude us with like a capturing thought of the end. I think I was verbalizing that throughout the lesson, but he captured it really well. And with Elise's help, I remember we were writing these things on the board where the mentality of kingdom people is what he is comparing is the religion of Yahweh that the Pharisees had made it into versus Jesus saying, I'm flipping the switch on this. And the Pharisees made it into very much a religion to be seen. And Elise used a couple words last week that I really liked. She started with intention of the heart. I think that was her word. And then I changed it over. Well, I don't know if I changed it over, but I've always thought a lot along the lines that this whole passage, and even prior to, with all of the six different, you have heard it said, but I say to you passages, Jesus is driving at our motivation in our quote-unquote religion, in our faith, right? So Pastor James said this phrase. He says, Jesus is really telling us that how you do these things matter. And when you look at it, Jesus said, hey, my people, my kingdom people, it's when you give to the needy. It's not if you give to the needy. It's when you give. He expects them. He expects that his people, his kingdom people, will be doing such things, giving to those in need, praying, fasting. So he says, when you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast, how you do that matters. Right? It begins with something inside. So today we wanted to take a deeper, where am I? Whoa, actually I'm not even at the right place. A second, I should be up somewhere here. Okay, so today we've spent time on giving to the needy, we've spent time on prayer. We're gonna just read this together once again. Are you guys with me? With fasting. All right, can I have a volunteer to read this for us and we'll pick it up from
here. When you fast, do not look gloomy like hypocrites. But they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not seem by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Yes. Reward you. Right, so we also talked about that at the end. How you do these things, how you do these things comes with reward. You either get your reward from the people who see you, right? Or you get your reward from your Father in heaven. Now, we also wanted to make a note last week that this is not, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to take concepts in extreme. I think human nature does that. So what's one extreme that we might take a concept to say, well, maybe we shouldn't be seen by people in our service, otherwise our reward will be stolen. What kind of culture could that create within a church? Right? This concept of like, well, the hypocrites do it to be seen, but you do it, you know, not to be seen, and you'll receive your reward from your Father. What could be one extreme taken away from that? Like when you pray, I think we talked about it last week. You look a little confused. I'm not sure. Are we some caffeine dose?
Last week I said you just never pray out loud.
Right. It could be, you know what? We just don't pray out loud. We'll never pray out loud. Otherwise, we're being seen by people. Right? We never give to the needy to be seen by people. We never give. So earlier in the pandemic, the school next door, right, Pete? You know, we coordinated with them because they had need that they want to serve the community with a canned food drive. And we did canned foods, we did gift cards to be able to serve those in need. Do we not do we not coordinate with them and leave a box and knock on the principal's office and run away so that we are not seen in our giving? Is that what this is saying? No, it's not. Right? It does come down to a motive issue. But it is tricky because things like this, these ideas begin to when we're not understanding the context of them, they may begin to like plague or stain our thoughts towards ministry or prayer or fasting and the like, right? I was sharing last week, maybe I should not share any of my experiences ever fasting, not that I'm often practicing that, but maybe I'll never share that. Otherwise, my reward from the Lord of that process would be stolen, right? So we want to be careful of that. I just want to make a note. I wanted to take us back, though, in this concept of fasting. How much do you guys know about fasting? A little bit, maybe. I don't think we talk about it very often in the church, in this particular church. What I'd like to do is just take us back and allow some of God's word and the circumstances to help give us a deeper understanding of when people fasted, why they fasted. Does God command us to fast today? Right? And if we were to fast, how was it practiced in the past, right? And why? Okay. So number one, you can see already on the screen that the Old Testament law actually was only, the people of God were only commanded once a year to fast. There's only one fast that God called his people Israel to fast, and that was for the Day of Atonement. Do you guys remember what that Day of Atonement is called today in Jewish language? If I give you the first name for a day, you probably would know, right? Yom Kippur, right? Okay, so that's the Day of Atonement. That's the only time that God commanded his people to fast. We're going to look at that in just a moment. We're going to look at some of these verses and let you guys highlight and be able to take away why they fasted. Outside of that fast, what we see in Scripture is that the people chose to fast on their own. They chose to fast on their own. Whether it was by a leader, as we'll see, telling the people, like we're going to fast because a national emergency, you know, we have our enemies attacking us from all sides, like we see in 2 Chronicles. And the king at that point, who was the king who called the fast in 2 Chronicles? Just have a brain fart for a moment. You know, he issued a fast for the people, right?
Which king?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Are there more than one?
In 2 Chronicles.
Oh, I don't know. 2 Chronicles.
Yeah.
Does his name start with J?
Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, thank you. And then also, we'll see here, we'll look at another verse or some other verses where the people of Israel, not commanded by God, chose to set aside certain days of the year to let them look forward to fasting, all right? So let's take a look at some of these verses. And I want you guys, these were supposed to be clicked one by one. I'm sorry, I didn't have the time to animate. But why don't we go ahead and grab your annotation, and then you here in the class, you get to annotate through me. So you tell me if you want me to highlight a word or two. Let's read Ezra chapter 8, 21 and 23, and we'll have another volunteer read this, okay? And I'll annotate if you guys want me to highlight any words. I'll just use the highlighter tool. Okay, go ahead. Volunteer. Or at home. Somebody at home want to volunteer to read for us?
I'll read it, Pastor Alex. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek him from a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and our gods. For I was ashamed to ask a king or a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and implored our God for this. He listened to our entreaty.
Okay, thank you. All right. Take your time to read through it again. Someone shared with me some feedback that some of the Bible studies at our church become a test of who knows how to read, right? The answers are just read whatever's in the passage. I think that's a loss of understanding Bible studies. If, Bible studies are a test of who knows how to comprehend English, let's ask the Lord, even as you read it, to say, what are some words, concepts that we're thinking about as we read that first section? Why are they fasting? How are they fasting? For what purpose are they fasting? Right? And I'll write some words on the side as well. Okay? Any words to highlight here?
Humble ourselves.
Okay, yes.
Seek from him.
Frank, you're jumping ahead. Okay, please. seek from him. Okay, good. To seek from him. I saw his. Oh. Franklin. Slow. Anybody else in the class here? Okay, that's good. Okay. Implored our God. Okay, so fasting and implored our God. You guys know what implored means? Implored means begging. Yeah, asking in, greater
desperation.
Any words you want to write down? I could write text as well on the side here. Any words?
I see ashamed. I don't know about it.
Ashamed, where?
Verse 22, where I was ashamed.
Oh, okay. I'll go back to highlight here. Where's the highlight? Okay, ashamed, where? Verse 22. Oh, for I was ashamed.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
To ask. Okay, that's okay. We're just highlighting, it's okay, observations. Any words that you would say? So why in Ezra 8 did Ezra, obviously I, Ezra, proclaim the fast? Shall we write some words? I'll use the do.
They were in need.
Okay. When in need. What else?
In a rock and hard place.
Okay. When in a jam. How about that?
Better.
Anything else? Any reasons? Purpose?
When in fear. I'm sorry. When in fear?
Okay. When in fear?
Okay. I guess it's kind of like poor in spirit.
Okay. Poor in spirit.
Return to God.
Okay. In order to return to God?
Yeah, because verse 12.
We're not there yet. I'm sorry. But that's okay.
just like praying.
Yeah. You guys are like fast readers. But we're focusing on 21 through 23 right now. Okay, look at 8, 21 and 23. He starts it actually right at the beginning, so I'm going to have to cut up here and say, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, which I think Ahav means heart. I don't know if it's like the river heart. I don't know. I'm not sure. That we might what? Right? To what? Hello?
To see.
Humble
ourselves.
To seek from him. Okay? All right, that's not bad for the first. Okay, I'm going to, Peter, say to return to God, okay? So we'll do that in our next section.
I find that it's interesting that his motive is a little bit out of the lack of faith.
Okay.
Because he says he didn't want to ask for extra protection. Because he already said, like, our God is good and he'll come through, right?
Right, our God is good to come through. Why not ask
for
people?
So I can't ask for more.
Right, Right.
That reinforcement
and,
is a better fast.
And you can open your Bible. That's always good, right? To open your Bible and see what the context was. Was the king already, not willing to do that, right? Does he want direct supplies from God himself or protection? Or to go without a band of soldiers and horsemen? Right? We could look at the context. All right, let's go to Ezra chapter 10, verse 6. Any other volunteer here in our classroom or online? Natalie? How about Natalie? We saw Natalie today.
No. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib, where he spent the night, neither eating bread nor drinking water, for he was mourning over the faithlessness of the exiles.
Okay, what can we highlight here? What are you picking up? Frank highlighted mourning.
Withdrew.
Okay, and what? Withdrew. Okay, Milton says neither eating bread. Usually we think of fasting from food, bread, but Milton picked up also nor drinking water. Okay, so it's a fast of bread and water in this case. Okay, what words would we say here? Peter, was this where you had a word? Where you had a word?
No, I just third one.
Okay. Any words here?
So the house of God there, that's the temple or what?
Yeah, that'd be the temple.
So you left the temple and went to somebody's house.
You gonna write that down?
Sure.
Okay. Any other words? Is this boring? I thought this might be an interesting way to approach it. But
is Jehohanan the son of Eliashib a priest?
Or? I don't know.
I'm not sure, Pastor Alex, on this one. I mean, I think I'm trying to say he was troubled, or I just don't, more than one word, but he's troubled.
Yeah.
Troubling him a lot, but.
Right. Why was he troubled? What was he troubled over, does it say?
Yeah, it says the faithlessness of the exiles.
Okay. So over the faithfulness of others.
Faithfulness of the exiles, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Faithlessness. Faithlessness.
That's my fault.
Yeah, okay.
You only fasted for one night.
Okay. Only fasted one night. Mourning, obviously. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
So Jehohanan is the son of the high priest.
Okay. All right. So the son of the high priest. So he went to his chamber. He spent the night at the son of the high priest. Got out of the temple, went into his chamber, spent the night, didn't eat bread or drink water, which I don't know, is that a fast or is that just going to sleep?
Intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting. But obviously it says he withdrew and he was mourning over the faithlessness of the exiles. And so that's a mourning over the faith of others. Right? Okay, good. Last verse here. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me. Some of you are familiar with this. With all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Okay, so I think Frank, I'm going to highlight what he did here because he noticed that there's two mournings right here. Right, so these would be linked, or not linked, but you know, he saw that there's a fasting that's associated with mourning both here and here. Any other words from people here?
Rend your hearts.
Okay, so rend your hearts. What does rend mean?
Tear apart.
Okay, tear apart your hearts. Don't tear apart your garments, because that was a sign in the ancient Near East of mourning, of grieving. You would like tear your clothes, you would shave your head, you would sit in the dust. But he's saying tear your heart, not your garments. Any other comments? Okay, what words would we use here possibly? Or what words do we want to make a note of? Anybody here?
I find it interesting that all these are about like being sad when you mourn.
Okay. Okay, these all associated with mourning or sadness?
A little sadness. Fasting, yeah, sadness and fasting.
Okay. These fasts associated with sadness, you said. Okay. Anything else?
Let's go with the returning to God.
Okay. To return to God. So fasting associated with returning to God, going back to God.
All right. Hope for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anything else? Move this around. Okay.
God relents over disaster.
So okay.
That's like similar to the first one. Where
yeah.
It's like, when you're in trouble, he will listen.
What's relents over disaster?
Like eases up.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to take a screenshot of this. I think that's cool. All right. So that's looking at times of emergencies, right? So those that we wrote about, these are all emergencies or fasts for repentance, right? No one used that word. Did we use that word yet?
Someone said forgiveness.
Someone said forgiveness, right? So yeah, someone said hope or forgiveness, which is this concept of I'm repenting. We see that we've been in sin. We're looking for forgiveness from God. We're spending time to fast. Right here, I wrote the word seeking for God's mercy upon us, whether it's for calamity that has struck us, or because we know that we've strayed away from the Lord so far, or others have strayed away from the Lord, and we are so heartbroken over that, right? I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. You see someone or a child or someone that was close to you in the past who has veered away from the Lord, and that grief that you feel over them. Right? We see those instances happening in the Old Testament. All right. But also, certain days became regularly anticipated days of fasting. Right. So we're going to look at Nehemiah real quick. I'm going to. That's fine. Okay. I was going to keep the words. Can you undo it? Okay, that's okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So let's just erase the highlights. I'm going to keep the words. I'm going to put some other words around there because I think it's cool too. Trying to do that. All right. So I'll read it for us. Zechariah chapter 7:4-5. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me. Say to the people, okay, so this is coming from God. Say to the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted in and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh, so in May and in July for us, for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? Okay, so what we see in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 4 to 5 is God saying to his people, hey, you guys have been practicing on your own these other two fasts a year. In the fifth month and in the seventh month. But he's asking them a question. Okay, so what do we see here? Oopsies. I'm going to have to make the erase for this.
That's fine.
Okay, what would you like me to highlight there? What would you like me to highlight? Am I kind of struggling? Focus on the text. Don't watch me erase. What would you want me to highlight here? Anybody at home?
Finish erasing first.
Just can't do it. Okay? Say what? Say what?
Was it for me that you
fasted? Okay, was it for me that you fasted? Right? So what can we pick up from that text?
Motivation, intention.
Okay, good. So God cares about the motivation for why we fast. Right? They obviously fasted. They practiced fasting. But God was a little bit not happy with that, with their fast. Were you even fasting for me, is this question. So you guys practiced this as a people for 70 years. But were you even fasting for me? What was your purpose? Right. Okay. And then Zechariah chapter 8, going a chapter later in Zechariah. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, okay, again, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, so that's four fasts of a year, shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Okay? Did you get it? Did you get it? This is like a crazy Sunday school class. We're just... talk about distractions here with flies. The plague of flies. Any words to highlight here?
So like previously it was all sadness, but now it's...
Okay, so let's make a note of that, right? Can I put it here? How about what? Not previously, but some fasts are over sadness, repentance, and some fasts are what? Seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Okay, so that's actually eating. Wait, I don't even know. How does that make sense? Does that make sense to you?
Not the feast part.
Yeah. Okay, not the feast part, but cheerful. Interesting. Some things to pick up, though. This is what's happening in the Old Testament. What's interesting about the concept of fasts is I'm going to turn us to Leviticus chapter 16, and I want you to notice the type of words that is used for feasting or for fasting. Okay. And it shall be a statute to you forever that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, okay, this is the Day of Atonement, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work. Either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. That's a Day of Atonement. So the Day of Atonement is providing a cleansing for their sins. It's to clean them from all their sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. Okay. Anything to pick up here? This is the call for fasting during the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. What do you guys pick up here?
Just afflicting yourself, keep fasting? It doesn't really call out fasting.
Right, it doesn't call out fasting. Isn't that interesting? So in the Old Testament, the word afflict is actually a different word than fast. And specifically in several translations, this one's the ESV, and the NASB translates the word ana as afflict, which is the proper usage of that word. It is not fast. Some people have written about that. Oh, fasting means to afflict yourselves. It's actually a different word. The word for fast is different, right? This particular word, anam, means to oppress with the idea of humility or meekness in mind, coupled with the idea of suffering life rather than one of worldly happiness and abundance, right? The reason why it's associated, Peter, with fasting is we see it in Isaiah chapter 28, where afflicting one's soul, this word anah, is always used synonymously with fasting. I'll give you an example, right? So in Isaiah 58, I feel like I'm just nerding out with too many verses for us. I don't know if this is overload, but if you even look on the titles of a lot of your chapters in the ESV Bible, in Isaiah chapter 58, it says true and false fasting. And in verse 3, the people are asking, why have we fasted and you don't see it, Lord? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, and then God answers, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for people to humble himself? Is it to bow down with his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? So in verse 3, actually that word humble ourselves is anah, right? So anah and the word for fasted is used synonymously, like we've fasted, we've humbled ourselves. And so when we go back to this particular word used here, afflicting yourselves, it's taken as fasting, right? But the technical word itself means to afflict yourself. Affliction of your soul, humbling of your soul, meekness. Did someone say something online? All right. From one of the Hebrew dictionaries, it says to be afflicted, disturbed, oppressed, humble oneself, pertaining to a state of unpretentious attitudes or behavior, often implying that the humble one has a proper awareness of one's proper lower status before God or in society. Right? To deny oneself. That's the Leviticus passage. Right? So fasting is associated with humbling of yourself, denying of yourself, denying of yourself from the worldly happiness and abundance. What are your thoughts about that? That's what was commanded on the day of fasting. Any thoughts? Are you going to say something? Got fly killing in here. There's like, no mercy. We need a fast from fly killing for a moment.
Seems like the definition already implies the intention.
Mm-hmm.
That, so when he says to afflict yourselves, there's already a sense of this is supposed to be your intention.
Okay. So Milton's saying that even the definition of the word, which the Hebrews would know,
yeah,
includes an intention in it, right? So you're doing it with an intention, right?
Okay. Because it says that, like, properly, are those status? Maybe you already know.
Right, okay. Yes, Frank?
Yeah, I you mentioned how fasting is a state of humbleness, or and I was looking up definition too. There's a heaviness that's associated with fasting. Direct translation: it's not even fasting; it's just heaviness.
Right.
So I'm wondering, why does fasting cause humbleness or humiliation in terms of the this actual translation? Why does fasting cause humiliation?
That's good. Yeah, that's good. What do you guys think? Why does fasting humble you before God?
Well, is Frank saying humble or humiliate?
I think he means
Yeah, actually both. It's the same concept. These three words are connected, right? Humiliation, humility or humble, and heaviness. The three different words, but they're all used to describe fasting.
Any thoughts? I could see you processing, so we'll give some time. I never know sometimes, you know, it's a journey to teach, right? Because I mean, I just jammed stuff in. I thought it would, you know, even with extra 10 minutes that we started late, you know, there'd be time to process on this. Because what does Jesus say? Well, let's just go back to that. I don't think we need to rush, right? Frank could always pick this up, right, next week.
Sure.
You guys want to spend time thinking about that for a moment? Like, why would fasting, refraining from, okay, in this theological workbook of the Old Testament, it says, it has the idea of a suffering life. So taking time, okay, so it's not a suffering life necessarily, but it's taking time to have a time, a season of a suffering life rather than with one of worldly happiness and abundance. Right? I mean, Christianity today is filled, I use the word a lot, I mean, Jesus calls us to an abundant life. Whatever we mean by that, this is here saying, taking a season, taking a break, to have a time of one without worldly happiness and abundance. And Frank's question is, why would that humble you? Why would taking yourself out of that humble you?
I think it's kind of similar to a lot of those, you know, the things that the Jews did. You know, it's like the outward practice is a reminder, is a physical reminder of how you should be in your heart, right? Mm-hmm. The physical emptying of food from your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A physical what?
Empty.
Oh, emptying. Yes, right? Emptying. Yeah.
And when you come before the Lord, you put aside, you empty yourself of your pride, your own ideas, your ego, whatever. You humble yourself and you seek Him either for forgiveness or direction or whatever, right? So it's like the physical kind of mirrors what you should be doing inside.
Right.
But I think the opposite also works, that you can do the physical and then you can have like very proud heart, like, you know, those passages that we read, right? Mm-hmm. That you can fast without those things.
Right.
Too. Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't.
So I like what you said, Cindy, because this is directing us to, I don't know if you remember, that I think I shared it last week, that the Pharisees, through the intertestamental period, right, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, as the Pharisees rose into this stature that they did, all for the right purposes, right? It begins with the right purposes. It's not like, I think we've always talked about this, when we did a skit, I don't know if Nancy remember, but I know Frank and I did skit, like we used to do skits all the time when we were youth, and we made Pharisees, when we did the Pharisees and we made the bad guys, like we drew them, like Pharisees look mean with like, we would draw in eyebrows and goatees and, you know, they're like mean guys as if Pharisees are evil. They didn't mean to be evil. They didn't start that way, at least. The three marks of practicing righteousness before God was what Cindy said, these Jewish practices. And these three made it to the top, giving to those in need, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. These were all motivated with originally good intentions. It was to have spiritual practices, or what we might call them today, spiritual disciplines, to allow our hearts to be drawn closer with the Lord. Spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are not talked about very often today. We've almost like negated them as if any type of discipline is a form of like Catholic behavior, like you're trying to earn your salvation before God. But it's something that we even see in the New Testament. We'll see maybe next week that the apostles, the early church, practiced fasting. Jesus fasted. But something happens where what Cindy was saying, the external practice is mirroring what's happening inside. But there's also instances when the motivation and the heart on the inside is not right, the how is off, and you can do the fast, you can pray, you can even give to the needy without the proper reflection of the heart, right? The purpose, the intention. I don't know. Anyone have an answer for Frank? I think he brought up a good, I didn't do that today, I'm sorry, honestly. I was like wanting us to process through the Word of God, but I think it just got into a lot of reading, I'm not sure.
I think other cultures and religions also
practice
some
fasting.
Type of fasting.
That's right.
Like what you said, it is a it is a spiritual,
like a discipline.
A discipline, mm-hmm. Right? It's a spiritual discipline. And something happens in reality when you talk about the basic needs of the human body, right? Mm-hmm. Where you need that. Mm-hmm. And to abstain from that, mm-hmm. is sort of a humbling, you know, and like what Cindy said, emptying, mm-hmm. yourself of that is it puts yourself in another place, like another state, if like the lack of words.
Sure, yeah.
You know, but I just think that, yeah, there's something happens in the background, mm-hmm. right? There's a purpose for fasting and abstaining from the basic needs of the human body,
right.
Like flesh.
Right.
I think that's the purpose of fasting, right? And I think Jesus goes into that. You'll probably go into that later,
right?
But it's
right.
Just it's you reap what you sow.
Okay.
Right? So what you reap in the flesh, you sow in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
What you reap in the spirit, you'll sow in the spirit.
That's right.
So there's some reality that goes on when we fast, but it's not just fast.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fill yourself with other things,
mm-hmm.
right? Spiritual things. So.
Yeah. How do we even tie in some of the fasts that were, Daniel said he observed that some of the fasts in the Old Testament were over repentance, over sins. I think I get that. Easier, but then some fasts are seasons of joy and gladness. Like I don't fully understand that. I've been thinking about my father-in-law's passing for a little while. I shouldn't do this. Really, 2 minutes weird. camera to see. It's not just rude; it messes up our camera. I thought about my father-in-law's passing, and when my mother-in-law for some time, the initial couple, like month, lost a lot of weight. Like Bex and I were talking about, we observed it. It was a little scary to see her lose that much weight. And she would say, I have no appetite to eat because I'm so sad and I don't know why I'm this sad. And we said, it's okay, right? We're trying to help her and pray with her through grieving. I don't know. I thought about this two things. I actually thought about two things. One, I was thinking about my wife and how much time I spend with her. And if I ever lost Bex, like, I honestly say we are so close. I don't know what would happen to me. Like, and I was testing myself. I'm like, do I need to take a cut from her? Like, you know, let's coffee together. You know, we're not going to talk today. We get a fast from each other. But it's this concept of like, wow, grieving over that loss. The second thing I thought about was, when was the last time that I grieved over sin to that point where I, or do we ever grieve over sin to the point where we lose our appetite? I can't eat. I can't even enjoy until I return to the Lord, until I get back with God. And I, this funny thing about the Day of Atonement, I'm just going to end with this thought as I was meditating on it. Why would God command a fast on the Day of Atonement? To abstain from food on this day of ritualistic cleansing from your sin. Why would he say take a fast? Because the fast itself does not provide forgiveness of sins. It's not through what you are doing, right, that you get cleansed from your sins. But I believe that the process of fasting helps lead you into a place where you can fully be in the, what Peter said, the state of mind where you can appreciate what God's doing to forgive you of all your sins today. You know what I mean? It's almost as if it's a setup to be in that place with God, to fully absorb and to appreciate and to meditate all of his goodness and his grace. And it probably creates in your heart, I'm so undeserving of you forgiving our sins. We're the people of Israel. Why don't you forgive the sins of the whole world? How are we so special? And I've abstained from all my worldly happiness and abundance that God has provided for me. But I'm taking that away so that I can really lead up to the appreciation of there's a lamb being slain that the priests are laying their hands over to take all of our sins upon himself. And on this Day of Atonement, I've been fasting so I could really be in that state to appreciate the forgiveness of my sins, to be cleansed from my sins. Right? Because it's not the act of fasting that does that. But the act of fasting puts us in that place. I don't know. I was thinking about that. We got to end. I am sorry again. Sometimes it's hard. Pray for us teachers. You know, I float at the 30,000 foot and I just really couldn't bring this into some deeper thought maybe today. But I mean, I have all these cool slides later about what Jesus says about fasting, the apostles, when they practice fasting, and maybe Frank can take us into a deeper dive next week. All right, brother. Is that cool? All right. Anyone would like to close in prayer?
Oh, before yes. You end, I think you're getting to it, but I think you haven't told us why we're spending time looking at fasting. Like, why don't you tell us so then we spend all day, it's still sinking in, Frank's picking it up, but why are we talking about fasting? Like, why are we spending the time looking at
fasting? Oh, because God's word talks about fasting.
That's it?
That's one of the reasons.
I would think that we're looking at fasting, not just that we gain some knowledge about what the Bible says about fasting, so we have a knowledge about the Old Testament fasting and the New Testament fasting, and okay, people fasted. I think that what Pastor Alex would always want to do is Well, if we understand fasting, then we need to really look at our own life and see, why aren't we practicing fasting? Because it's not just knowing something in the Bible, it's do we fast? Mm-hmm. I think ultimately it needs to come down to that, right? I mean, is that, am I right? Am I on the right track?
You're right.
Okay. So we don't fast, or we do fast, but why do we fast? And what is the benefit of fasting, and what is the spiritual discipline of fasting, and how does that apply to our spiritual growth? How does that apply to our effectiveness in our ministry? How does that allow us to be built up by the Lord so that we can really impact the world? I think fasting, if we understand it biblically, then we would understand how to practice that individually and also even possibly together as a church. We don't do that yet.
Mm-hmm. You say,
right?
Yeah.
Well, knowing you, you're going to want to lead us into it, right?
I think it's important to lay the groundwork.
Okay. Right? All right. So just, I think that helps us to think through. That's why it's important to think about it, not just an academic or knowledge-based exercise that we're doing Sunday school. That is important, but I think Pastor Alex is right. Biblically, it gives us the groundwork. And it allows us to think through, but always, always at the end is, well, what does that have to do with me? And then we have to respond to that.
Right.
Right, Frank?
Yeah, I think next week we'll go into that. It's a nice segue into fasting itself. And what does it actually do? I think it's definitely theoretical, but more so physical too. There's something that happens in the state of fasting. Yeah, So I think we'll dive into it next week.
Good, thank you, brother.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor Jim, do you want to host and pray for us?
Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Fasting is a pretty fascinating topic. I think not many of us know about it. We do know that the scripture talks about it. We know the Old Testament talks about it. God even has laws established, ordinances established for the national Israel. But Lord, even in the New Testament, we see our Lord Jesus himself having a personal practice of it. And he even has instructions regarding fasting as he taught his disciples. But Lord, we know also for a fact that the practice of fasting seems to be somewhat foreign and distant to us. But Lord, it is in your word, it is your instruction. We want to hear it, we want to learn about it. We pray for Pastor Alex and Frank as they spend the time studying your word and praying through your leading, and that each and every one of us, Lord, as we learn and gain a deeper appreciation, Lord, that we would be able to understand, Lord, your heart, your will for us in our personal lives regarding not just the understanding, the proper understanding of fasting, but also our proper practice of fasting. And Lord, this is your word as it pertains to the practice of righteousness and of spiritual growth and of our connection to you. So let us learn with humility. Let us open our minds to the instruction of the Spirit, being grounded in your word, and so that we may be able to grow in you, Lord. And we trust that this will be a wonderful journey of you leading and teaching us. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.